blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me again on the Word Podcast. We are still in chapter 21 of 2 Samuel. And we left off in the previous episode with a particularly interesting phrase right here. And I want to follow up a little bit on that, draw a little more attention to it. Now, remember what's going on here in this 21st chapter. There was a famine in the land. And it's famine in the days of David. David's king. And the famine had been going on 3 years. And it had been year after year after year. And David sought the presence of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord as to what's going on. Why is this? Well, God answered him. And he said, it's for Saul and his bloody house because he put the Gibeonites to death. The people of Israel had made a covenant, we saw, with the Gibeonites. And Saul had decided to kill the Gibeonites. Now, when you go back and look at that covenant, there was some chicanery that was involved with it. And it said in verse 2 of this chapter that Saul sought to kill them because of his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. He really thought that he was doing the right thing in getting rid of these folks. Saul did not understand the true nature of covenant and what God means in the midst of a covenant and how seriously important a covenant is. So he had tried to do away with these folks. Well, he wasn't successful. David asked the Gibeonites, well, what shall I do for you? How can I make atonement for you? How can I make this right? How can you do this where you'll bless Israel and the inheritance? And they said, hey, we're not worried about money. We're not silver or gold or anything like that. And it's not within our power to put any man to death in Israel, which means there's somebody, some people in Israel that probably need to die because many of us died. But we don't have that power. And then David followed up on that and says, well, you know, I'll do whatever you ask me to say. I mean, just tell me whatever you want. Well, they come back. I said, hey, the guy that consumed us, who they knew was Saul, let 7 men from his son be given us, and we're going to hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord. And the king said, I'll give them to you. So he wound up giving 7 men to them, and they hanged these men. 2 were offspring of Saul through a concubine. Remember that, Rizpah? And then 5 of them were sons of Saul's daughter, Merab. So they were actually all related to Saul. They hanged them. Well, Rizpah couldn't stand the sight of this. So she went and kept the animals, the birds by day and the animals at night, away from the bodies. Well, David heard about this. He heard how she was standing watch over these bodies and would not let them be disposed of as was the normal way then. They would have left the bodies up there until they were plucked clean and taken away by animals or whatever. Then they would have buried the bones. So we saw that David came up with an idea. He went, took the bones of Saul and Jonathan that were still at Jabesh, among the men at Jabesh Gilead. Those men had stolen those bones from the open square in Bethshah. That's what verse 12 says. Remember when the Philistines killed Saul and killed Jonathan, they hung their bodies up against the wall. Well, these men of Jabesh took them, stole them away, and they still had them. So David went and got them, and he buried them, and he buried them in the grave of Kish, and that's the father of Saul. He also took these 7 men that had been hung, these 7 men that had died because of the sin of the house of Saul, and he buried them there. But then this verse 14, thus they did all that the king commanded. So they did every bit of this. And after that, God was moved by prayer for the land. We're actually going to see that same phrase again in chapter 24, I think. And you'll see it in a couple other places in the scripture, how that God was moved by prayer. Okay? God is moved by prayer. The Lord is moved by prayer. But there are times when there are things that are hindering prayer. They had been praying for the famine to be released, whatever was causing it, likely dryness of land, right? No rain. They'd been praying, but something was hindering it. What was hindering it? David inquired. God said, it's the blood that's on the house of Saul. Oh, so David sought to deal with that. He did deal with it. Is this the way that God wanted him to deal with it? Well, you start getting those questions that we have no answers to, okay? But this is what occurred. This is what happened. So David deals with it, and then it says that now God was moved by prayer for the land, because it says after that, after they had done this, the Lord was moved by prayer for the land. The land was dry. The Lord was moved by the prayer now that the impediment was removed. Well, was it that God couldn't hear? That God couldn't do something? That God wouldn't do something? Well, God can do what he wants to, right? God's not limited by anything of his creation in any form or fashion. Not at all. But he chose to operate this way. He chose to function this way because he wanted something to be dealt with. He wanted something to be revealed. He wanted something to be reconciled. So after this had occurred, God was moved by prayer for the land. And apparently, rain was restored. Okay. Now, let me read the next little account right here. Verse 15 picks it up. But now, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, so here we go, the Philistines are attacking Israel again, David went down and his servants with him, and they fought against the Philistines, and David became weary. So David's in the midst of battle. He's fighting, but he's tired. He's worn down. Watch this, verse 16. Then Ishbi-Benob, that's a great name, Ishbi-Benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the word is actually Rapha. He was one of the Rephaim. He was one of the giants, one of the offspring of the giants. So this guy, Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the offspring of the giants, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. So David is worn out. He's weary. And then the big guy comes in, and he's going to kill David. Verse 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. So David has somebody, Abishai, who we've seen several times. He comes along and he helps David in the midst of this battle, and he actually strikes the Philistine and he kills him. Verse 17. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel." The men are saying this. They're saying this. Hey, that was a close call. That was way too close. You're not going to go out to battle with us again because you are our leader. You are the lamp of Israel. You are the one that is shining righteousness and that is leading Israel. And you do not need to put yourself in those type of environments and those type of things. We'll go to battle. We'll follow your orders. We'll do everything. But no, you don't need to do that again. We do the same type of thing today in military and leadership like that. We do it politically. We do it in leadership in a lot of ways. Okay, that we place the one who is in leadership in a position of safety and watching over to where they can do really a greater work. Is there a greater work than being the lamp of Israel? Did you know that David was described as the lamp of Israel? That is a foreshadowing, is it not, of Messiah? Okay, well, I think I'll stop right here. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you next episode. Goodbye.